Okay, good morning, ladies. Welcome back to our class in Shmir Salashon, studying Sefer Kuntros Choves Hashmira. Let us begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur, please, which is in the inside flap of everybody's Sefer. Rabbono Shel Olam Yehi Ratzon Lefanecha Arachum V'Chanan Shetezakeni Hayem U'V'Chol Yom L'Shmar Pi U'L'Shoni Milashan Hara U'V'Chilas V'Azahar Miledaber Afilu Al Ish Yachid V'Kol Shekena Kal Yisrael V'Chilak V'Him V'Kol Shekena V'Him As Analiyah Neshama for Tzvi Gershon Banyol V'chana Alav Hashalom Meiz Neshama V'Analiyah Nemeret Avar Chavura, but also Zeschus Refuah Shalema for a young woman who is having brain surgery this morning, actually. Hinda Miriam Basna Omi Devora Pesach, she should have a Refuah Shalema Soch Shara Chal Yisrael. Hashem should guide the doctor's hand for a successful procedure and complete Refuah. Amen. Okay, so last time we spoke a lot about Yosef and the brothers, and that the fact that the whole inyan occurred due to the sin of slander, and the very first thing that Torah tells us is that Yosef brought Lashon Hara home about the brothers. So today we're going to continue in the Sefer. We are on page 46 for your own reference, but I do want to read a story from the Hene Machlis book, which I've been quoting since I got it a month ago. Someone just said to me, it was cute, she said to me after a certain class, she says, no matter what the class is, because she was listening to Shiram online, she was reading my weekly Dvar Torah that I send out to subscribers from the blog. She says, no matter what it is, somehow there's always a story about it. I said, the book is just beyond inspiring. But I want to read something that is relevant to so much of what we have spoken about. We've spoken in this class about seeing the good. And we spoke last time, if you see the good, then you really don't talk Lashon Hara about somebody else. And if you see the good and you see into the neshama of a person, you also don't speak Lashon Hara about somebody else. So I just want to share one story told over in this book. Okay. Here we go. Her youngest son, 15-year-old David, was with her at 4 a.m. the night before she died. He asked her, you don't look good, should I call Hatzalah? She was too weak to talk, but she shook her head, and her son said, if you're with us, squeeze my hand. She squeezed his hand so tightly it hurt. Shortly after 11, Friday morning, the family called Hatzalah. They could not find the pulse. She was not breathing. They asked Avigayev, they should do CPR. Absolutely, do whatever you can. But Hani Machas, the great soul, was gone. She was in Nifteres, 11:15 in the morning, the 3rd of Cheshvan, the Yurtzeit of the Ruzhina Rebbe. A tradition in Ruzhin holds, whoever dies on the 3rd of Cheshvan goes straight to Gan Eden. Although some people during the Shiva would talk about this promise, many others wondered if Hani Machas really needed any extra help getting herself into Gan Eden. However, David O, it doesn't give his full name, who imagined Henny was his spiritual mother, imagines the scene of Rabbitson Machus' foray into the next world. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah 17a says, certain sinners who are called Poshe Yisrael Begufan, rebels of Israel with their body, Poshe Yisrael Begufan, their sinners with their body, after they die, the Gemara says, they will be burned, and their ashes will be scattered under the heels of tzaddikim. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. After they die, their ashes will be burned, scattered under the heels of tzaddikim. In the Sefer Asar Ma'amarot, the Ramah Mipana writes, this is not a negative. We shouldn't think this is a negative. So what does it mean? It doesn't mean tzaddikim will trample these unfortunate souls. It means tzaddikim will go into the valley of tears where these Rishayim are suffering. And the tzaddikim will shed tears for these poor souls being punished. The tears of the tzaddikim will mix with the tears of the Rasha'im. Hashem will have mercy on them because of the cries of the righteous, and he will bring them to the level of tzaddikim. However, he doesn't specify if the tears of the tzaddikim are tears of pain or not. So that is how the Ramah Mipana explains this Gemara. It's not Hashem that the tzaddikim are trampling upon the Rasha'im. Ha ha, look what you're getting. You deserve it. Look what you did. Rather, they're crying for them, and therefore Hashem will have Rachmanas. So this person, David O, they didn't want to give his full name, spoke about Rabbitson Machus and said, I would like to suggest for Rabbitson Machus, those tears are tears from pride. After the Seuda in heaven, where she will be a guest, the Rabbitson, listen to this, ladies, will walk through Gehenna. listen. She will smile with pride at someone and with her Ayin Tova. And that's what I'm bringing to you, because we've spoken so much about Ayin Tova in class that I'm interrupting the book for a minute. Miha Isha Chafetz Chaim Ohev Yamim, says David Melech in Kapitel of Tehillim. Lir Ostov, who is the man who desires life, who loves days to see good? Nitzor Lashon Chamira. But we said many months ago, now, I prefer to put different punctuation onto these psukim. It's kapitel amidalad. Miha isha chafetz chaim ohev yamim lir ostov. Who is the man who desires life, who loves days? Question mark. No. Miha isha chafetz chaim ohev yamim? Question mark. Who is the man who desires life, who loves days? Question mark. The first part of the answer is lir ostov. He who sees good. A man, if you see good, that is the whole key to guarding your tongue from evil. It doesn't start with guarding your tongue, it starts with seeing the good. And he is the one who desires life, who loves days. So after the Suda in heaven, where the Rabbitson will be a guest, the Rabbitson, Rabbitson Machus, will walk through the Gehenim. And with a smile and with pride, she will look at someone with an Ayin Tov and she will say, look, you benched once in your life. That's such a big accomplishment. Not being facetious, God forbid, or sarcastic. She's going to look at that Rasha and she's going to say, wow, once in your life you benched. That's such a big accomplishment. Wow, you honored your parents a few times. We are so proud of you. Her tears of joy and pride in that person. Just like in this world, it brought people to be tzaddikim. Well, in the next world, bring about the mercy of Hashem and uplift these souls to the level of tzaddikim. Hashem will have rahmanis on them. So she, with such, you know, Yiddish pride of her mother, she's going to look at them and say, wow, you did a mitzvah. Isn't that tremendous? And Hashem will take those ashes of that Rosh who's suffering and mix it with her, and it'll be an aliyah for his neshama. Her daughter, Sarah, declared, more than leaving us diamonds, my mother left us tefillah and amunah. She didn't leave me here alone, she left me here with Hashem. So I thought it was very impactful when I read that. Talk about the koach of Ayin Tova. You know, there's two ways to look at a person. You benched once in your life. That's all you can manage, to thank God once in your life. Every time you eat, you should bench. Or you benched once in your life. It's just unbelievable. Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, having said that, let's go to page 46, please. I'll tell you where we're up to. I remember the last time we're up to talking about the mitzora, the person who has tzaras. Tzaras, of course, is an affliction. The Gemara says it comes from gaiva, gasus haruach, but gasus haruach leads to lashon hara. And the last thing we said last time is that in the parashas of Tazria and mitzora, the parasha of Tazria is where he is diagnosed as being ill, spiritually ill, with physical manifestation. That's tzaras. And then that's Tazria. And in mitzora, he's healed. The last thing we said last time, I believe the last thing, is that he's not called a mitzora until he's on his way to being habilitated. Got it? In Tazria, when he's actually diagnosed, he's not called a mitzora. He's only labeled as a mitzora when he's on his way to spiritual healing and purification. So we brought down a very deep part from there. Avelia Kitov says, look at the sensitivity of the Torah. You don't label him a sinner when he's in the process of sinning. He's not ready to hear it. Once he's spiritually on the path to spiritual habilitation, then he could hear it. Oh, a Matzora. What brought me to this, my Lashon Hara? What's the last thing we spoke about? Where it says Kibushim, 6 lines down on page 46, okay? Mm-hmm. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Kohen will give him admonishment and say, Bini, after Kibushim. Kibushim is admonishment, Masr. Bini, my son, Ein hanaga'im ba'im ala Lashon Hara. Once you're in the place to hear it, you should know these afflictions only come because of the sin of Lashon Hara. Okay, Ayin Sham, so the Chavetz Chaim says, if you want to know more, go look in the Chumash and study those parshios. Uba parshios kedoshim, and in parshios kedoshim, I have a bunch of chavashim here. Lo seleich v'achil ba'amecha, the very, very famous pasuk, it's in parshios kedoshim. You know, parshios kedoshim, the parsha to be holy, you would think it has to do with listening to the shofar on Yom Kippur and eating the matzah, shmura, mahadron min a mahadron on Pesach, and making sure no crumbs get in your soup because of the chashash that might rise, and the baal tokeya, and inisa. And it's about none of those things actually. And Parshas Kedoshim, which is the parsha that tells us how to be holy, is overwhelmingly about which kind of category of mitzvahs? You would think be holy, it should be between me and God. And Rava, the Torah tells you, if you want to know what it means to be holy, v'ahavta recha kamocha, v'pnei seva takum, rise before your elders, love your fellow as you love yourself, etc., etc. It's all about to be holy. Yes? So in Israel, someone came over to me after one class last week, and she said to me after the class at Shari, where we spoke about that different perspective on Gashmus, and she said to me, Shamayim, Shamayim, Lashem, Va'aretz, Asam, Divnei Adam. She went to a beautiful bar. I mean, there's many ways to expand upon this pasuk, but Shamayim, Shamayim, Lashem, the heavens are heavens, but earth, we live down here, Nasam, Divnei Adam. You have to know how to be a mensch and how to be a person in this world. So the pasuk says in Parashas Kedoshim, very, very famous pasuk, Lo Seleich Rachil Ba'amecha, you should not be a gossip monger amongst your people. The pasuk is, okay, it's Perek Yates, he gives us the source, Pasuk Tesai in chapter 19, verse 16, we're in Sefer Vayikra, Lo Seleich Rachil Ba'amecha, don't be a gossip monger amongst your people. And then you know what the next words are, the second half of the pasuk? Lo ta'amod al dam re'acha. Don't stand by while your brother's blood is being shed. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. So look at the juxtaposition of those two mitzvahs. The first mitzvah in the pasuk is, don't be a gossip monger amongst your people. Don't go gossiping. The second half of the pasuk is, don't stand by while your brother's blood is being shed. So what does it teach us?
That one is as bad as the other.
I can, yeah.
That gossiping is like
killing. Correct, very nice. That, you know, not only are the mitzvahs important, but we have to look at where in the Torah they're written. What's the pasuk before? What's the pasuk after? What are the words before? What are the words after? So, you know, the Torah didn't have to group these two psukim together in the same pasuk. You could, or even write one next to the other. You could put one over here and one over here. What's the relevance of the juxtaposition of these verses? That one who is a gossip monger amongst his people is as if he's standing idly by while his brother's blood is being shed. So very, very severe view in the Torah of Rechilas, of talking Lashon Hara, of slandering. But I want to tell you what Rashi says here. Listen to Rashi. Don't go about gossiping. Ani Omer al Shem Shakol Mishalchim Midyanim. Those who instigate bad will, umisapri Lashon Hara, and who speak Lashon Hara, what do they do? You know, things haven't changed so much from the time when Rashi lived 1,000 years ago in France. They go to their fellows' houses. They want to spy out. Ragel, miraglim. They want to scout out what's going on there. Oh my yishmura, or what bad things they hear. So they go to someone's house. They sit down for a meal. They see things that are going on that they perceive as bad. They hear bad things. And then what do they do? Lasaper b'shuk. What does that mean? You go pick up your wares in different places. Misaper lashana. You go to one house, you hear things. You go to another house, you see things. And then you peddle your wares. You go to the shuk, and then you pass on the words to somebody else. And I think so different today. What happens? We see things, we hear things, and we go, okay, it doesn't have to be dafka in the shuk, and you meet someone else, and you tell them, you wouldn't believe. Nikra'im holche rachil. They are called those who go about gossiping because holche rachil, gossipers, is related to holche regila, going. Okay? 1 second. I'm skipping. 1 second. And Targum Unklus renders lo seleich rachil, lo techu kurtzin, which means literally do not eat of winking. Why? What do you think of that? Why does Targum Unklus say don't be a gossiper means don't eat a meal of winking? It's a very profound lesson. What else does that teach us?
Don't eat of winking. Not even a little bit. A wink is like a little bit.
What do you mean, not even a little bit?
Not even saying.
So maybe not even what you say. There's something called avak lashon hara. Avak is the dust of lashon hara. So here we're adding in a different prohibition. A little bit, meaning you don't even have to say it. Sometimes it's the facial expression. Sometimes it's the wink. In our days, it's the rolling of the eyes. So even negativity expressed through facial expression, you're sitting at the table with gossip monger. So it's very... So Rashi says it appears to be, I'm not going to tell you the whole thing of the Lashon HaKodesh, what was the practice? They would eat a mouthful, and the one who received the words of gossip, it was a sign of affirmation that their words were authentic. In other words, they would wink. It's like a handshake. Like, Yasha Koch, you told me something good. Let me shake your hand. What a good piece. You know, a wink. Very, very powerful. So it's such of the way of all those who gossip to wink with their eyes and communicate by gesture the words of gossip so that other listeners should not understand. So, you know, you want to tell a private message, a third person walks into the room and you don't like them. So it's just is not far-fetched. This is not from 1,000 years ago in France. This, unfortunately, is very, very relevant in our day and our time. In 2017, I said to Maz yesterday, isn't it like, don't you feel like we were born such a long time ago? Like, when I say the year, it seems like, wow, it was such a long time ago. It's still relevant today that one person comes in and you don't want them to know. You think no one's going to see. So you roll your eyes at the third person. And that's why the Pasuk finishes with Ani Hashem. Many of the Pasukim and Parshas Kedoshim finish with Ani Hashem. And the reason is Ne'eman L'Shalem Schar. I am faithful to pay back reward. V'ne'eman L'Parai. Faithful to exact punishment. And Rashi tells us many times in Parshas Kedoshim. Why do the Pasukim here end with Ani Hashem when it comes to Ben Adam L'Chaveiro? Because you think no one's seeing, nobody's watching. You should know who's always seeing and who's always watching. So it's very, very powerful. We should not be those people who go peddling wares, go to one house to tell it over in the shuk. Furthermore, Targum Onkelos adds something very important, which is that body language is an affirmation as well and is a way of relaying negative information. So talking about practical, because we always like to end with some sort of halacha, and I am not a posek, and I've said that many times, but nevertheless, we learned something very relevant from here, that even body language can be considered Seilech Rachiel Ba'amecha. So we really have to be exceedingly careful. Sometimes even it's instinctive. What did you say?
We really have to stay home by ourselves.
So that's what we've said.
All day at the table.
So that's what we've said a few times. I remember a couple months ago you were sitting next to me and you said, so we just can't talk.
Do anything.
It's a big challenge. That. Of course, the key is not to sit home all day by ourselves. But it's a big challenge to, you know, I've told it over before, but it says in the biography of the Chafetz Chaim, I'm only retelling what I read, I would never say this, by Rabbi M. Yasher. I'm giving you the source, art school biography, but written many years ago, not one of the new ones, very lengthy. Took me like 8 months to read it because I don't have time to only read it. I was doing other things, but it tells a story in there. Traveling, Magid. I was trying to come up with the Hebrew preacher. I don't know what just happened. Magid was going around, so he went to the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon, he had very few students. He had a handful of students. His students disseminated his Torah. He sat and he mamish learned all day. So the, not to compare as Chalil Vachas to Vilna Gaon, it's ludicrous to even say that. But I'm giving a point. So the traveling preacher was going around, so the Magid said, the Vilna Gaon said, give me Musar. So he says, how could I give Vilna Gaon Musar? He says, no, please give me Musar. So he says, to be the Vilna Gaon when you sit in your attic, you have the Vilna Gaon, go into the shuk and be the Vilna Gaon. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the Vilna Gaon, I'm talking about on our level, obviously. But the reason I gave you that source is because otherwise I would never tell such an audacious story, but it came from a very reliable place. So we have to take a shang Musar Haskel for us. And you're right, we can't sit in the house all day. You do have to go, but it's a big challenge. Your hand was up.
So it's funny because when texting became
very dangerous.
It could be dangerous, but I find it's not so good for me because I don't speak to people. And I used to like to speak to my friends, not just say, hi, how are you? So, but I find that it's also good for me. Like, I'll text, how are you doing? How's everything? So some people say, you know, you could call, you could speak to me. I find that I'm saying a lot of Tehillah more, much more. I take upon myself. A lot of people, unfortunately,
you mean because phone calls take less time.
Are doing, I never even heard a certain 40-day Tehillah to say. And you know what? It takes me over an hour and a half to give all my commitments, whatever. That's during my talking time. Because then, by the time I finish with Hashem and talking, until I'm really tired. But that's why when people would say to me when I was giving out certain Tehillah for certain people, I don't have the time. Look, you have to have the time. You have to be a committed person. But I'm telling
very
you.
Very good. But it's a positive way of looking at it, because the flip side is texting is very dangerous. And I just thought of something, only because you brought up, which I never thought of before. You know they have all these negative emojis in texting. They have a rolling eyes one.
Right.
They have the winking and they have the rolling eyes. So it's just something to take into consideration, you know? I'm working on, I'm telling you, Mamish, I don't know if I should say it, because saying it for To'al is for the purposes of our learning, not to Al Tiftach Palasatan. I'm trying so hard to be a Liros To for everything. So it's very hard. My brother told me a couple months ago, Mechazik, he says, if you choose to work on one area of Avodas Hashem, my brother Rabbi Dov Frido, I quote very often, you work only on that area. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you give up your tefillah. Doesn't mean you give up Netilas Yadayim. It doesn't mean you give up benching. No, that's not what it means. But if you have to put all your kochos, you're really striving to do one thing. So work on that maila, that mida only. Not that you don't daven, but that is your focus. What is my focus this day? What is my focus this week? So I'm trying very, very hard. Why am I saying that? Because I'm thinking of these negative emojis, which really give a negative, even if it's not Lashon Hara, it's a negative outlook. So for example, last night, we wanted to take my father took my boys out, so it was just my husband and myself and my daughter. We had a bar to go to, so I said, let's take her out for supper. It was just us and one child. It doesn't happen so often, so I said, let's take her out for supper. So, of course, we decided this last minute. Of course, the restaurants were all very busy because it was a holiday weekend, so everybody wants to go for supper. So I wanted to take her to like a real sit-down place, but it wasn't working. So I had to take her to a more fast food kind of place, but I wanted to take her to a real place, so I felt bad. So she didn't really want to go there. But so then, the point is, after my sister now texted me, how was it? Where did you go? So maybe in the olden days, as in like a week and a half ago, I would have said, we went there because there was no choice. But I said, because she said, where did you go? So I said, the real restaurants didn't have any tables available. So we went to a fast food place. I said, but it was still very nice. Baruch Hashem. Even that's being a little stove. Do you understand? I'm not trying, instead of saying it was a negative experience, I'm putting this positive. That's why when I was asked about the weather this morning, is it not so nice outside? So I said, well, it's not raining hard. And it's not snowing, and it's not icy, so Baruch Hashem, so I'm trying very, very hard to be a Lira Stone. The reason I thought of this is because those emojis really lead to negativity, even though they're just jokes, you know? Everything could be a positive light, everything could be a negative light, but if we see things in negativity, it really does lead to Lashon Hara, and that's really what this Rashi is telling us. You go to someone's house, you see a negative, you paddle your wares in the shuck. Someone comes in, you roll your eyes, you sit at the meal of winking, and just all that negativity really, really builds up. So it's something to be very, very mindful of. So if the lack of phone calls actually leads to more Tehillim and less Lashon Hara, then call Kavod, it's a tremendous thing. But we just have to be careful that when we text, it's done in the right way, because it can be a breeding ground. It can be a breeding ground for danger. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. So that's in Parshas Kedoshim. Oh, I want to say one more thing on this. Lo seleich rachil ba'amecha. The shorish of amecha is am, right? Ayin mem. So the shorish of amecha is am. Am, of course, means the nation of Hashem. And why are we called the nation of Hashem am? Because if we change the nekudos of am, Hashem, it's im Hashem. The nation of Hashem is with Hashem. So I just want to put out there that if we see people as the Am Hashem, Amecha, it doesn't say, right, Acha, the Shorish is bad, the whole different Hashkafic Shir for a different time, but the Shorish is Am. If you see this person as the Am Hashem and they are Im Hashem, then again, really, if you have the proper outlook, then you really cannot speak Lashon Hara about them. I told over, I don't know if anyone subscribed to my weekly Dvar Torah post, but I'll just say it over last week. I told the story from the Hani Machas book, and I quote the Pasuk, Shor Tvar Torah story. So when the author was interviewing her family, they told over a story that, you know, they had all different sorts and types of people who came. Most were not run of the mill, so to speak. So there was a woman who was an opera singer who once came to the meal. So she wanted to sing in the middle of the meal. So to tell her to not sing because of Kalisha would have been embarrassing. To allow her to sing would have been a breach of halacha. So both ways are a breach of halacha. He talks so much, Chavos Chaim speaks repeatedly about Habanas Panim. So to embarrass her in public is asr. To allow her to sing in public is asr. So Hani said to her, after the meal, we'll have a choir. We're going to go to the basement. We're going to close the door. The woman would love to hear you sing. So that was the compromise they came up with. So after Rabbi Machas related the story, one of the daughters said, that lady was really weird. And again, someone said to me, I didn't understand, why was she weird? Just because she wanted to sing. If you read the book, you understand that most of the people who came to their house were not typical people. But Rabbi Machas replied, how can you call her weird? She was Jewish.
Right.
Okay, so that's Lo Seleich Rechil Ba'amecha. If you see every person as part of Am Yisrael, then you don't go around slandering, winking, rolling eyes, texting negativity, etc. Okay. That's gone. Okay, now any questions or comments? Okay. Lo tisa alav chet, you shall not. This is from Vayikra, Perek Yedayin. The pasuk actually says, hochech tochiach es amitecha. Again, the word am, you shall surely rebuke your fellow. Although the Musar masters say, in today's day and age, there's no one who knows how to give Musar, there's no one who knows how to give proper tochacha. Why not? Because we don't know ourselves half the time that we are being nechshol. So who am I to go around giving tochachas to somebody else? Hochech tochiach es amitecha, velo tisa alav chet, shehu kai al habanas panim. What's this talking about? You shall not. 1 second. From also Vayikra, I'm going to open up. Oh, why did I close my chumash? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to close the chumash. The next pasuk. The next pasuk is ready. The next words. Oh wow. Okay, I'm going back to kedoshim because the Chavetz Chaim is still in precious kedoshim. Lo seilich v'chil b'mecha. We spoke about that, right? Lo tam arod dam reyacha. We spoke about that because Esther told us that it's absolutely correct that if you slander, it's like you're spilling innocent blood. Ani Hashem, be careful. You think nobody's watching you? I'm watching. You know what the next words in the Chumash are? Lo tisna esachicha bilvavecha. What does all this lead to if you transgress, if you speak Lashon Hara, if you sit at the meals of winkers, if you stand by while your brother's blood is being shed, if you forget that Hashem is always watching, what does all lead to? Sinna in the heart, and therefore hatred in the heart, and therefore the next words are, Lo tisna esachicha bilvavecha, do not hate your brother in your heart, which also leads to Lashon Hara, Hocheach tochiach es amitecha, you shall surely rebuke your fellow. We spoke about that, there's no one today who really knows how to give amongst the Hamon Am, I'm not talking about the Gedolim, we don't know how to give tochacha, Lo tisa alav chet, you shall not bear a sin because of him. And you know what Rashi says there, what's that referring to? Lo talbin es panav berabim. You shall not embarrass somebody in public. If you come to the point where you disregard the laws of Lashon Hara and you start winking and you stand by while your brother's blood is being shed, you forget about Hashem, you hate him in your heart, you're going to stand by while he's being embarrassed in public. Lo talbin es panav berabim. You may not embarrass him in public. So related to this, I saw a beautiful vart related to this week's parasha about habanas panim, shaming some. So is everyone with me? That is Perek Yates, Pasuk Yud Zayin, and Kedoshim. Okay? So listen to this. Rabbi Fran brings down a very important vart related to this week's parasha. Of course, this week's parasha is Vayigash, and Vayigash is about the grand reveal, and all these years, nobody knew that Yosef was the viceroy, and they don't know what happened to him, and they come down to buy food. Finally, he cannot contain himself anymore. Yehuda's defending Binyamin, and Yehuda's saying, you know, I'm going to kill you like I'm going to kill Paro if you're keeping this lad here. Lo yachal Yosef li'sapek. Yosef cannot hold back anymore. Hotziu kol ish me'alai. He sends everybody out of the room before he reveals to his brothers, and Yosef, I'm Yosef that you sold to Egypt. Could you imagine, you know, we're sometimes embarrassed of the things we did wrong. Could you imagine? And Chazal actually say, based on the shame, the brothers can't talk to him. They're shocked. They can't talk. So Chazal say, how's it going to be in the Beis Din Shalmala when Hashem pays back the sins we're due? We're not going to be able to even say anything. Right. Interesting, you brought up texting. Listen, Rabbi. Okay, the pasuk is Lo Yacha. We're talking about Habanas Panim, right? Because we just looked at the pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim, and we looked at the sequence of how we come to this end. You speak Lashon Hara. You stand by. Very nice. It's getting worse and worse. If you start with Lashon Hara, you will stand by while the brother's blood is being shed. You will forget that Hashem is God. You will end up hating him in your heart. You will end up rebuking somebody in an improper way, and finally, you will come to Habanas Panim Barabim. Very nice. Beautiful. But the Torah, of course, is warning us not to go down through those stages. But if you ignore what the Torah is telling you, all those lavin, all those lotas, say the Torah is telling you, this is the progression. You're going to end up getting worse and worse and killing someone in public. It's better, say Chazal, to be thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh. We just had that by Yehuda and Tamar in Parshas Vayeshev. It's better to be thrown into the fiery furnace than to embarrass someone in public. So the pasuk of this week's parasha says, "V'lo yachal Yosef lihisapek." Yosef can't hold back. Although standing around, and vayikra hotziu kol ish me'alai, clear out every Egyptian from the room. V'lo amad ish ito. There was no one standing with him. Behisvada Yosef alacha. When Yosef confesses to his brother, he says, "I am, you know, Joseph, who you sold down to Egypt." No one's there. Listen to the first thing Rabbi Fran writes. It's so interesting about texting in today's social media-driven world. The concept of public shaming, which in times of old was limited to securing a person in stocks to be exposed to the derision of his fellow villagers. So in the olden days, public shaming was to a far, even though to us, sir, it was to a far lesser degree than in today's world, because today's world, public shaming,
takes a second.
It's what?
It takes a second.
And it takes a second, and the results are not limited to your village or your block.
You
know the expression, the shot heard around the world? It's Ein Sof. In today's social media-driven world, the concept of public shaming, listen to this quote from my friend, has taken on now epic proportions. And this is exactly what the Chafetz Chaim is directing us to this pasuk. It says, "Shuhu kai al habanas panim." The shaming can now spread. Oh, that's what you just said. Worldwide in seconds, often for something that isn't necessarily wrong or even true. So one person picks it up, and you press forward, and they press forward, and they press forward. Rahman al-Latsan, I think what you said is very commendable, because I think for most people, I don't know the people at the table. No, for most people, texting has made things far more dangerous because the effects are able to reach many more people in a short amount of time. It is mind-boggling how far removed this sort of public degradation is from the Torah's manner of handling those who have sinned, even grievously. So it's coming up to this expression of Vayigash, listen how relevant this is. This is, prior to revealing his true identity to his brothers, Yosef sent everyone else out of the room so they would not be embarrassed. And they found themselves on the hot seat. On that moment, one of the most dramatic in the entire narrative portion of the Torah, says Rabbi Friend, the brothers were suddenly faced by their betrayal. Their humiliation was so complete, Chazal compared to the shame we will suffer when faced with our own actions on the day of judgment. So not too much that happens in Olam Hazeh couldn't we compare to Olam Haba, but their shame was so horrific and so deep-seated and so profound. Chazal say, imagine how we will feel vis-a-vis Hashem. There's a dispute in the Medrash, Bereishis Rabbah. What's the Medrash? Did Yosef act correctly when he ordered everyone out of the room? Which is very interesting, by the way. Why? One option, one opinion is, since his brothers could have killed him, he was wrong for leaving himself without any bodyguards to protect him. Isn't that interesting? He was the very powerful viceroy. A king is not allowed to be mochel on his kavod. There's actually opinion in the Medrash that he should not have sent everyone out of the room. Why not? Because he left himself exposed to danger. It's very, very interesting. However, the other opinion maintains Yosef knew his brothers were righteous and would never kill him. So he is correct to protect their dignity by having everyone leave the room. Why did Yosef take that kind of risk according to the first opinion? If they could have killed him and he's not allowed to be mochel on his covenant and put himself in such a danger, so why did he do such a thing? Yosef was following Chazal's teaching, Masechta Sota 10b. It was preferable to throw yourself into a fiery furnace than to embarrass your fellow publicly. Even though he was at the risk of being killed, he preferred his own death than humiliating his brothers in front of the Egyptian bodyguards. Okay. Mr. Avi Shulman of Torah Masorah, just relates a story, told me an astounding story. A prominent educator was asked which of his teachers had the greatest influence on him. Without hesitation, he said his fifth grade Rebbe, due to one episode. An adult said, who had the greatest influence? Fifth grade Rebbe, right? There were a number of children in the class who the Rebbe could not control. At one point, he turned to the blackboard. He wrote down the names of the children who were misbehaving. After class, I'm going to deal with you, he said. A few minutes later, the principal walked into the room unannounced. As the principal stood with his back to the blackboard, addressing the students, the Rebbe walked up behind him and brushed against the blackboard with his suit until all the names were erased. When the principal finished the quiz, the Rebbe escorted him out of the room. The class saw the Rebbe's suit jacket was covered with dust. On the spot, the Rebbe made a choice. What was the choice? That his suit would get all dirty, that he would be perhaps embarrassed, rather than embarrass the students whose names were on the blackboard in front of the principal, even though they deserved to be punished. The Rebbe's sensitivity towards his students' feelings and effort to spare them shame was the most monumental chinuch message this future educator would ever receive. So when he was asked who had the most profound impact on you, right away he said, our Rebbe, for what he did. And who we learn from Yosef HaTzadik, that even though he maybe did not have to send them out, he preferred to send them out, not knowing what would happen to them, just to spare them the shame. Okay. Any questions or comments? Okay, what we're going to do now is go to the Sefer. Lesson a day. Does anyone have any questions or comments about what we just spoke about? No? Okay. We spoke about Parashas Kedoshim and the sequence of events that are narrated for us in the Torah. And if you transgress one lav, you're going to go to the next. If you transgress the next, next. If you transgress, be a gossipmonger. You will stand by while your brother's blood is being shed. In essence, you're forgetting Hashem. You will end up hating your brother in your heart. You will end up giving inappropriate rebuke, and finally you will end up shaming him in public. So what you said is very astute. It's levels of descent, of spiritual descent. I saw a tremendous word brought down by Elimelech Biderman last week's parasha. Just unbelievable. You know, it's hard. I remember you said a few months ago we shouldn't leave the house. You said today we shouldn't leave the house. So unbelievable brought down by Rabbi Biderman. Shalom and Esav are the same in Gematria. It's true if you work it out. Okay, they both have Shin, Vav, and Lam. They both have a Shin and a Vav. Lam and Mem make 70, and Ayin is 70. They're the same Gematria, Esav and Shalom. So Elimelech Biderman brings down his Torah. Well, why is Esav and Shalom same Gematria? Esav represents Yetzer Hara, the angel that fought with Yaakov on the river Yabok was the Sarishal Esav. But Chazal say his name was Sam-El, Samech Mem Aleph Lamed. He was the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, and the Malach HaMavis Alman. He's like the worst bad guy you could imagine. Mm-hmm. So the Yetzer Hara and the Satan. Why is that the Gematria of Shalom? Because people can't put up the fight anymore. They're so tired from fighting the Yetzer Hara, they just make Shalom with him. It's not worth the fight. I'll just make peace with you. Whatever you want, I can't battle anymore. It's a very, very powerful verb. And perhaps that's why the Torah tells us, Vayaveik ish imo ad olo sashachar. Yaakov fought till the morning sun rose. He never gave up. Yaakov Avinu, the Bechir Sheba Avos, never said to the Tsar, I'm going to make Shalom with you. Never. You don't make Shalom as hard as the fight is, even if you're injured. Yaakov was limping after the fight. Nevertheless, it says, the angel saw he could not overcome him. So our kohos really have to be, we should never make Shalom with the Esav, with the Yetzer Hara within. And it's certainly true in regard to this Inyan. Because what happens with the sins of Lashon Hara is that we're nechshal. In some way, I'm sorry, but in some way the Gemara says every sin has an avak Lashon Hara in it. In some way, everybody ends up being on our level, being nechshal. So then at some point you could just say, can't take the fight anymore. I'm just may as well throw in the towel. I spoke Lashon Hara this morning, I got angry this afternoon, I did Halbanas upon him this evening, so now forget it. Oh, that's what Esav wants. That's what the Yetzer Hara wants. He wants us to say, wave the white flag. We never can. Praise in the presence of adversaries. Praising a person in a situation where someone present is likely to temper such praise with criticism and is another form of avak lashon hara. You understand? If you know that A does not like B and you say how nice B is, what's A going to say? You think they're so nice? Let me tell you how nice they are. It's forbidden to praise someone in the presence of anyone who is known to dislike him. You know, I was just over the weekend happened to be in the presence of a person who I know has... Forget it, I'm not even saying it. It is forbidden to praise someone in the presence of anyone who is known to dislike him, as it is common for such people to respond by mentioning the person's shortcomings, right? So you're going to say, oh, I like you so much, and she's going to say, when you're not there... You don't even know. It is wrong to praise people. Therefore, listen to this. Listen to this. It is wrong to... I didn't mean you to these. It is wrong to praise someone. No, I'm serious. Listen to this. It's not right. It's wrong. No, it's not right. It's wrong to praise someone in the presence of a large group of people, since there's a reasonable chance at least one person in the group dislikes you're speaking about. So if you're in a large group of people and you don't know how everybody feels about Mr. A, then you should not call him Mr. A. So it really does go back to what you two ladies are saying.
Stay in your house. Don't say
that what?
Stay in your house. So definitely don't say a word.
Likewise, God, it is forbidden. It is forbidden to praise a businessman in the presence of his competitors, even if they claim no ill will to him. This is also relevant. I was thinking, like, someone owns a restaurant. When you know that, then you really shouldn't praise the competitor's restaurant in front of them, because it's going to make them feel bad, even if they have no problem with that person. Hearing you compliment sushi store A when you're in the presence of sushi store B, how's B going to feel? Think about it. You really didn't say anything that's objectively Lashon Hara. So you see, the halachos, how sensitive the Torah is. You didn't even say anything that's Lashon Hara. You're allowed to say, you like the sushi from store A. But don't say it to Mr. B or to the family of Mr. B or to the best friend of Mr. B. It's going to make him feel negative, okay? Very relevant. Excessive praise should always be avoided. It can cause people to respond negatively, even when they have no particular dislike for the person being discussed. This is a little sad. You know why? It teaches...
Yeah.
What?
It's pathetic that people would react to
it. Pathetic.
It's true.
Well, you know what I was going to say? I was going to say it's sad or pathetic because it shows us how negative human beings tend to be. We don't like to hear too much praise about somebody else because we want to find something negative.
There's jealousy. There's so much stuff going on that you can't really talk.
So when you praise in a group... Even if it's not Lashon Hara, you have to think to yourself, how's this going to go over with everybody here? Excessive praise might make someone else kina, might make someone else feel jealous. That was started with Yosef and the brothers. V'Yisrael Havas Yosef Mikol Banav Kiben Zukunim Hu. Yaakov loved Yosef more than all the other sons, V'Yikanim Bo Achav. And they become jealous of him. So this is very, very relevant. Praise in the presence of adversaries or praise in the presence of competition. Or just too much praise of someone in general makes the listener feel inadequate and they might feel that they have to add something negative. So very, very powerful. Obvious implications. Any questions or comments besides for what we heard? No. There is a form of avak lashon hara. We already touched upon the dust of lashon hara that can result from one's regard for the laws of forbidden speech. If one says he is reluctant to discuss a particular individual because he doesn't want to speak lashon hara, what's he in effect saying? I have something negative to tell you about that person. I'd rather not discuss so and so. I don't want to talk lashon hara. Is in essence saying lashon hara. So that's an interesting halacha because let's say you really don't want to discuss it. I don't know, I'm putting it out there as food for thought. So what should you say? My phone is ringing, I have to check my text. I mean, you understand? Yeah. If someone asks you a question about so-and-so and you don't want to discuss it because
you
it could
roll
be...
your eyes and you go,
I don't know.
Okay, I don't know the person, so I'm not qualified to say. Instead of saying, I don't want to get into a forbidden discussion. Okay, so the Torah, any other questions or comments?
But then they look at you and they think that you're better than that. Or like, going back to what I said many, many months ago, how you're at a table, and if you say that, or you walk away, or you go to the bathroom, or where were you, or they try to review it, or... You know, they think that you're better. It's a very...
I remember when you said that, that people say, oh, you think you're not talking Lashon Hara, don't be so holy.
I have this in conversation. Like I say, I really don't want to discuss it, or I'm not Mevater, or I'll say something like, and like, they'll look at me like, who are you, holier than them?
It's not a good thing, but we have to do what we have to do. Okay? We have to do what we have to do.
Whenever I leave this class and it helps me, and I missed it for a while, I haven't been here, and it's like, oh, I got to go back there, we learn. We're not learning just to learn. We're learning really to work on our avodah of lashon hara, and it's very hard when people don't come to you or come to, and they don't work on it, and they're like so happy to just. And I'm with a lot of people.
You know what? Listen, I want to say a couple of things. I remember in a different place, and this goes back a number of years ago, when we were trying to discuss what to learn. And I was told, I think I told you this, I was told they don't want to learn the Sefer. It was one of the Sfarim that I suggested. It's going back a little while. So it's true because it makes us uncomfortable. Sometimes we don't want to learn it because we're al-nichshol in this area. Therefore, I shouldn't know, but that's the wrong attitude because we said, Esav is Shalom. Hashem never wants us to make Shalom, even if we come out injured and limping and we were nichshol. Hashem wants to say, you have to fight with him till the morning sun rises, till you have the Yeshua. You have to keep up the fight. And the Torah teaches us in those two psukim in Parshas Kedoshim, the descent, if we give up, if we make Shalom, we will descend into the state of Rishus where we will come to Habanas Panim Barabim, which is equated with, which is worse than having yourself thrown into the Kibshan Eish. However, bless you, if we're able to conquer and keep striving, we will rise in a spiritual level. So, Be'ezras Hashem, we should be zoch. I really think, humbly offer, that the key nekuda is seeing the God. Because if it could be a lir os tov, it will never come to this spiritual descent. If you could look at one person, like Rabbi Tzenhani Machas, Chusa Yagen Elenu, Chusa Tagen Elenu, and say, wow, you benched once in your life. The weather's really not so bad. We went to a different restaurant. I wanted to take it to a nice sit-down, but we still had a very nice time. If we could strive to see the Lira's Tov in every situation, then we'll see it in Akash Baruch Hu, we'll see it in ourselves, and ultimately we will see it in other people as well. Amecha, they are part of Am Hashem, they are Im Hashem. We do not have the right to tarnish their reputation, their emotions, their feelings in any way, shape, or form. And we learn from Yosef HaTzadik in the Sukkot Parsha the degree to which we must go to. They sold him into slavery. They treated him poorly. They did not listen to his pleas when he cried for compassion. And nevertheless, he spared them shame. We have to put aside our own honor and the honor of another Jew. And Be'ezras Hashem, we have to daven. The Slonim Rebbe says, when you daven for Gashmias, I was reading a few weeks ago to see Vasham and Tefillah. When you daven for Gashmias, there are prosecutors in Shemayim, and they tell Hashem why you shouldn't get it. Don't give them this. When you daven for Ruchnias, he says, for advancement in Avodas Hashem, there's no one standing between you and Hashem. Your tefillahs go straight up. So just like we daven for Parnassah and Shaduchim and health, that's all matters of Gashmis. We can and we must daven for matters of Ruchnias, and Be'ezras Hashem, He will help us on the path we want to go. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies.
Rav Shai Shechter spoke last week. He's talking about tefillah, baby.
Who did?
Rav Shai Shechter.
I missed him. I want to go.
Right. So he said such a good mashal because he just went to Eretz Yisrael for his parents' 50th anniversary. And they were given albums and presents and this and that. So after the whole event, they brought them to Eretz Yisrael for this surprise. He said, what was the best part of the whole thing? So he said, not the presents, not the, you know, gathering. He said, to see my children get along.
That's, I think, the biggest gift anybody
can right.
ever.
So he was saying that Akash Baruch Hu views us all as, you know, the children. And if he sees us, that we all love each other and get along with each other, that's the biggest nachas he could have.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, so if you just think of everybody, all of us as, you know, children, family and children of Hashem, you know, you would
love each
other. I think
that's why the Sefer is so important, because he reminds us of fundamentals. The Chavetz Chaim is really teaching us life fundamentals in Bein Adam Echaver that we forget, or that we trample upon, or Rechman Aletzlan become insignificant or unimportant. And he really reminds us the path we need to go, which is Hashem wants us, what you just said, wants us to all get along. That's Amecha, Im.
Right.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just saw Lisa, and she loves you.